This is exactly right.
Hi, I'm Erin Welsh.
And I'm Erin Alman Updike, and we're the hosts of This Podcast Will Kill You on Exactly Right.
We're back with our seventh season, which is bigger and better than ever.
Because guess what? We're now a weekly show.
This season, we're tackling everything from long COVID to norovirus, from the supplement industry to IVF, and so, so much more.
New episodes drop every single Tuesday.
Follow This Podcast Will Kill You wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome
to my favorite murder,
the minisode.
That's right, the minisode was your line.
Shit, you were looking over like off to the side, so I thought maybe you were holding your breath before you blurted.
That was
it.
My way of cueing you. Oh. By looking away. Oh. I wasn't trying to mad dog you into, yeah, saying the line. I was trying to give you space.
Thank you.
To say your line.
Thank you. And I did it.
You're welcome.
That's Karen Kilgariff.
That's Georgia Hardstark.
Hi. Our entire state is burning to the ground, but we're here for you.
Yeah.
So,
but we're podcasting through it.
That's right. That's what we do.
Just like in any good disaster movie, we're the people that are getting the exposition out as it melts down.
That's right. You want to go first?
Sure. This one is a postal worker hero story.
Cool.
Hi, all. I was listening to the latest MFM minisode 190 this morning. The story from the postal worker reminded me that I had an amazing story about a postal worker hero. Way back in 2005, I was going to the University of Arizona. Go fill in the blank. I was in my last year of school and, of course, keeping college student hours and burning the candle at both ends. This meant that I was taking a nice nap on my couch in the early afternoon when I was awoken to a frantic knocking on my door. I looked at the peephole and saw it was my mail carrier, so I opened the door. He asked me, "Are you okay?" I heard screaming. I sleepily shook my head and let him know that everything was okay here, and we both heard a scream again. The postal worker said, "Close and lock your door," and then took off.
Oh my God.
It turned out the scream was coming from next door. The girls who were living in the house next to ours had someone new moving in. No one else was home, and the girl was moving boxes from her car into the house and, of course, keeping the front door open while she was going back and forth. Well, a man had apparently been watching her and assessed that she was alone, so during one of her trips from her car to the house, he followed her inside and tried to assault her. Thankfully, the asshole left the door open. The mail carrier ran in and scared the guy off.
Oh my God.
He called the police and stayed with her until her roommates were able to get there. Unfortunately, I don't know if the asshole assaulter was ever caught, but our mail carrier was forever our hero. Stay sexy and thank a mail carrier by postage and send someone a letter, Bree.
Wow. We, yeah, don't need another hero.
Nice.
That's so good. He could have saved her life. You know what? So many people are just like, "That's not my problem. Not my problem."
But I feel like mail carriers, though, everyone is their problem.
Totally.
Because they have to go to every single house. They deal with, like, my poor mail carrier at my old house. My dogs would jump at the front window and bark like she was trying to do something terrible.
For years.
Every day. They really deal with so much bullshit.
Sure. You know who else does? Oh, you know what we need is stories from parking ticket people.
Oh, meter maids, I guess they probably don't call them that anymore.
Probably
parking attendants.
Parking attendant stories.
Or is that a valet?
No,
parking,
I don't know.
Parking attendant. It's not attendant.
Ticket. You know what we need is someone to tell us what that is and then write us stories.
Cater waiter? Hold on. We can figure this out.
We'll figure it out. Okay. This one's called Family Curse and Grandparent Stuff. Mm. Hello and welcome to my email.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep. top 10.
I've been meaning to send this bad boy in for a very long time. So let's cut the shit and get right to it.
Please.
Ever since, is she a Kilgareth?
It's from my sister.
Ever since I was little, my grandmother has been telling me the story of our family curse and the number 21. In fact, she would often tell me the story right before bedtime when I would sleep over as a child. Thank you for the nightmares. So here's the basic premise. Every firstborn female in each family branch dies an untimely death, and it always correlates with the number 21.
What? Is this that Jim Carrey movie? He writes it all over the wall. Is this from Jim Carrey? He writes in the plot of his own movie from 2005.
This isn't a hometown, but it is the plot of a movie that I was in.
But it's a pretty good movie, if I do say so myself. Here is Liar, Liar.
It starts with my great-grandmother, who had a daughter named Shirley. Shirley passed away when she was just 21 days old from the measles. Luckily, my great-grandmother went on to have two other daughters that, after that, both who are alive and well to this day. One daughter being my great aunt Pat, and the other being my very own grandmother Joan, including names in here because I know you love it.
Yes.
My aunt Pat went on to have her firstborn child, a daughter, to be named Tiffany. Tiffany sadly died exactly 21 days before her due date. Ooh. My aunt Pat never had any other children after that.
Ugh.
I know, heartbreaking. That brings us to my grandmother, who went on to have three children. And you guessed it, the first one was a girl. Her name was Beverly. Beverly goes on to pass away in a freak car accident on her 21st birthday.
What?
Tragic, weird, spooky, all of the above. And hey, guess what? It gets worse. All caps, I am the firstborn girl for the following generation.
Oh.
Also, my name is Beverly, which is such a good name. Bring it back. I fucking love it.
That is a great name, especially for a 3-year-old girl named Beverly. Are you joking?
Can you get my Virginia Lights? Bev. Bev, darling.
Bev, can you take off those cat eye sunglasses for 1 second? I'm trying to talk to you.
I am named after my late Aunt Beverly mentioned above. Hopefully this means I will pass away when I am still kicking ass at 121 years old or something. But let me tell you one thing. I am always hella cautious on the 21st of every month. Phew, it gives me the willies, she says. Thanks for reading my email and thanks for doing the cool shit you do. I will not miss your live show when you come back to Philly again. Also, my grandparents' names are Joan and Ed, and they are amazing and badass. If I do die an untimely death involving the number 21, I will try to haunt everyone and give you guys an update on how it all went down. TTYL, Beverly, and then it says, my friends call me Beef.
Oh, so just good names, Beverly.
All over. Beef.
That was a full journey of an email. I mean, really great, entertaining,
totally
great information.
Yeah.
A family fucking curse is a first, I think.
I think so.
And incredible and horrifying.
Like horrifying, awful, but then like light, funny at parts. So you're not like, it's just everything we want.
It's really, you know what, Beverly, and I hope you do live to 121.
Yep.
But if you go early, at least you wrote that email. A perfect email. Just kidding.
Your life's goal is now complete.
Georgia just did the classic comedy take of nodding along with me until I got to the end and then her eyes went wide.
Like, wait, I don't agree. Fuck? I don't agree.
What are you saying? Okay. This just starts, hey, ladies. This isn't really a murder story, but I do have some stories about Action Park.
Yes!
Right?
Yes.
A first-hander Action Park. Sorry, I got this one because it was your story.
No,
I got
an Action Park one too, but I didn't pick it for some reason.
We haven't done the full.
But
you might do the full.
No, but has anyone... Okay, just for anyone who doesn't know, Action Park is this incredible... Well, read your letter, whatever.
Yeah, they might. Here.
Okay.
I live in Northern New Jersey. I'm only 22, but my dad was a frequent guest of Action Park as a teenager.
Yes.
Whenever he talks about Action Park, he says, you didn't have fun if you didn't get hurt.
That's the 80s saying. You're not having fun unless you get hurt.
It's like a dude with his hair parted down the middle and wearing a jean jacket. And he says that and he smiles and then his front tooth falls out.
And his arm's in a sling, but he's doing a thumbs up in traction.
You didn't have fun if you didn't get hurt. Big hole.
Yes, okay. Love it.
Okay, so, oh, then they say, which is not really my definition of fun, but it was the 80s, I guess.
There you go.
That's right. He was one of those people who got to go on the cannonball loop slide before it got shut down.
No.
he busted his nose pretty badly, but he did say it was worth it. Not sure if he got scraped up by the teeth embedded in the slide. Did you hear about that? Is that in the documentary? Teeth embedded in the slide that other kids get scraped up.
Yeah.
That is like, that is...
Me.
Beyond. But I'm assuming he did get, he did, because he mentioned it right before it got brought up in the documentary.
Oh, nice.
Aside from the various other minor injuries, he came out relatively unscathed, though he did have a friend ride the Alpine slide.
Oh, shit. Read it.
I'm sorry. This is just such a weird throwback. It's like, it's so... I did have a friend ride the Alpine slide shirtless and have his entire back completely covered in road rash.
Oh, my God.
Like, the 80s was the last era of shirtless dudes in public just chilling out.
Yep.
That was a thing.
And tiny
to the
shorts.
Point where
tiny shorts.
They had to put up signs at McDonald's saying, you're not allowed to do that in here. It was very common.
Yeah.
Yes. And tiny corduroy OP short.
Oh, yeah. Bring it back.
One thing I thought was wild that they didn't mention in the documentary was the fact that the park had actually bought the town of Vernon new ambulances because their first aid squad was called out to the park so often. Stay sexy and don't go to poorly designed water parks, Tori.
Oh, that was great, Tori. Everyone ask your,
so
your
good.
Mom or dad. What happened to them? Why
yeah,
the
children
80s?
Of New Jersey.
Yeah. Love
Please.
It. Amazing. This one's called CIA Grandfather. It's short and sweet, but I like it. Karen in Georgia. A few minisodes ago, you read a story about someone's CIA grandfather. My family similarly believes that my grandfather was in the CIA. He traveled a lot for work, often narrowly missing significant historical events, most notably leaving Tehran just hours before the Iran hostage crisis.
He knew.
Yeah.
He knew.
Get out of here.
Yep.
When my sister and I graduated high school, we were both targeted by the CIA for recruitment. How come that didn't happen to me? Is it because I didn't go to college?
Because your grandfather wasn't in the CIA.
Right. And I barely graduated high school. Okay.
Well, yeah. Were you there to be recruited?
No, probably
you not. Have to be present to be recruited.
Probably not. And I would have been like, fuck the government. Not like, that's awesome. Yes. Our theory is that as grandchildren of one of their best, we seemed like the perfect candidates, although other high schoolers in our neighborhood were targeted, including a childhood friend of mine who mysteriously gained the ability to speak perfect Russian in the past few years after having her college seemingly entirely paid for by a nameless prospective employer.
Oh, you are just gossiping now, and that's rude.
Oh my God, wait for this. Although my grandfather died when I was young, one thing I learned from him was to always take a different route home every day. 15 extra minutes won't kill you, but the people tailing you might.
Jeez.
XOXO, Gossip Girl.
Gossip Girl, like the TV show?
Yeah, you just said gossiping.
Psychic powers.
Oh my God, total CIA psychic powers.
Yeah, I think they never recruited me, and they really... They missed out.
They really did. I just liked that one. It was short and sweet with like a lot of information packed in there. You know?
Yeah, no, it was good. It was great. I mean, there's always time for the CIA. Any
always.
Information that we can get.
That's right. Why do I always remember lyrics to songs, Karen, that I haven't heard for years, but I always forget my email passwords?
I know, right? It's like our brains only want us to retain useless information, but with 1Password, that problem solved.
1Password is an award-winning password manager that's trusted by families and large-scale companies alike.
If you're tired of being the person that everyone texts for a streaming login, hand that honor to 1Password. They let you share logins with people and with groups.
With 1Password, you can securely switch between any device type or operating system. That means if you're a family or business that uses both Mac and PC, you won't have trouble sharing your private data.
Don't let the name fool you. 1Password does more than just store passwords. It can autofill usernames, payment details, and personal information. And they notify you about potential data breaches.
For business operations, 1Password has a dedicated support team that will integrate its security tools into your existing workflow.
1Password saves everyone time. And we all know that time saved equals money saved. Your accounting department will thank you.
Don't just listen to us. 1Password was named Wirecutter's best password manager. And companies like Salesforce and IBM trust 1Password to secure their most sensitive information. So you can too.
Right now, our listeners get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/MFM.
That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/MFM.
1Password.com/MFM.
Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye. Okay, this subject line is drug dealer saved a life.
Love it.
Hello to my favorite ladies, pets, and mustache. Just kidding, Steven. You're more than just a mustache.
Aw.
I was listening to Minisode 189 when you gals asked for drug dealer stories and how they saved your life. Yes, you really did ask for that.
Knows us way too well.
Yeah, I'm like, nah, it doesn't sound familiar. Okay, well, here's mine. There was this quiet guy in my college dorm that I was interested in. Mm-hmm. You are singing my song, girl. The quiet ones make me extra loud.
Yeah.
And then they really don't like you. Before, they just regular didn't like me. And then it would be like, oh God, that loud girl's coming over here again.
It's because you make her nervous because you won't speak. So she talks too much. You can't.
You're brooding.
Expect.
Would take a brooding break and chit chat with me.
Right.
Son of a bitch.
Dick.
He was new to campus and I'd see him in passing and was so intrigued by this mysterious man. One crazy college night, my friend was working the night shift at the front desk of the dorm. I sat down there with her to help keep her awake and watch the drunks roll in. Mm-hmm. Late that night, in walks the mystery man. He was completely covered in mud, sticks, and missing his shirt. We just sat there with our mouths open, confused and staring. He walks in, gives us a couple finger guns and heads upstairs, saying nothing. A few months later, I end up having this guy as my accounting tutor. And I ask him about that night. Turns out that he was at a party with some shady characters and he did a few too many shots of Everclear. Mm. He stumbled out of the house and was offered cocaine from a dealer, which he accepted. His quote unquote friend told him to go home and put him on the public bus, which goes to campus. However, it was the wrong bus.
Of course it was.
This bus took him over 2 miles away from campus on the edge of a marsh / pond. It was October in the Midwest and about 40 degrees out. So instead of taking the long way home, he just decided to cut through a mile of wet marsh and swampland to get home. Hence the mud sticks and missing shirt. I'm convinced that the cocaine actually saved his life. Frankly, it's a miracle. He could have passed out in the marsh and died from hypothermia or drowned and no one would have known. But the cocaine kept him going and he was able to make it back.
I love it.
We've since been together 6 years and are getting married in 2021. I didn't read the last paragraph.
Oh my god,
this is my favorite.
That's amazing.
She married him. His party days are She married the guy covered in mud.
The cocaine guy covered in mud. Her she husband. Married
muddy finger guns.
Hey, mom and dad, how did you guys meet? When did you first know you loved dad?
It's hard to explain. Also, I need to know you. The part of the story is how you figured out how to get him to be your accounting tutor. Did you find out he was tutoring people in accounting?
Yeah.
And then sign up for an accounting class?
Totally.
That's probably what she did.
And
right?
Be like, hey, I'm bad at this. Yeah.
God, this class, it's like I never wanted to take it or plan to enroll in it ever at all.
It's like it has nothing to do with my major in zoology. But oops, I guess I got to take this accounting class.
You know what? Zoos make money. Someone's got to bounce those books. So you better teach me how.
Someone's got to account for all that tiger feed. Might as well be me.
His party days are done and he's now a full-time accountant.
Yes.
If it wasn't for the drug dealer, I would have missed out on marrying the love of my life. Aww. Don't do drugs, stay in school, stay sexy, and don't get murdered. T. That is, I love how unthorough I was and I gave myself my own surprise at the end of that.
T, we're coming to your wedding.
Good.
We're coming to your wedding. We'll bring the cocaine.
She got a quiet guy.
I know. Well, quiet guys are sometimes just shy. Vince was a quiet guy when I met him.
Really?
Yeah. And I was just, and I knew he wasn't because when we met, we had like a great conversation all night. And then we went on dates and he wouldn't fucking speak. And I was just like, I know you're cool. Like, and so I had to say to him, I need you to talk or I'm just going to I'm going to talk too much and hate myself. Because, you know, you like fill in the silence. Because
yes.
So it's
yes.
Just like, blah, 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 blah. And I can't eat in silence. And so I finally like kind of yelled at him and he's like, okay, like I got it. And now
and
he's like,
busted it out. I know. I can't even imagine him being that way. That's what's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's such a Mr. Like, hey, everybody who needs a
totally.
Beer.
He can find anything to talk about. Okay. This one.
But you made him shy, Georgia.
I know.
You made him shy.
I mean, we were still making out every date, but he's just wasn't talking.
You were working through it. And that's what's important.
The chemistry was there, baby.
Yeah.
All of ours are a little bit connected. This one is a mailman story.
Yes.
So, hey guys, I'm a Canadian mail lady and let me tell you, there's some fucked up shit out there. I've been greeted by basically naked men more times than I care to count. I've delivered active sex toys, live bees, a chicken, and even a whole black bear. But this story isn't about that. As with all mail carriers, I have a few favorite customers on my route. A few years ago on my old route, my favorite was Jimmy McGraw, a lovely 70-something widower living off the grid on the mountainside. Jimmy was my last stop, so I'd always stay and chat with him as he didn't get much company. He would typically offer me a cup of coffee or whatever sweets he had baked up. This particular visit started with the usual small talk, and then the sweet man looked me dead in the eyes and asked, "Can I interest you in a line?" "A line?" I reply. "Would you like a little cocaine? Feel free to come up over the weekend. Bring your husband." It turns out I had delivered that very cocaine the day before. You really can mail anything. I never did take him up on the offer, but I'm fairly certain I know where he got his remarkable energy. And it's just signed Kale S.
Okay. The idea of going out, like living a respectable life and doing what needs to get done for whatever you think that is.
Yeah.
becoming a widower, then you're just like, guess what? I'm just gonna roll on out of here, like drug style.
Off the grid. I'm not bothering anyone. I'm not like making cocaine person noises for my neighbors to get annoyed by, you know, blasting fucking Freebird and shit. I'm just like living my life on the mountainside. I have my mail carrier friends, the animals.
I'm kind of excited. I get a lot
of baking done.
I like Marlboro Reds for some reason, but it's good for in the nature.
I thought about opening a restaurant, but it has to be off the grid.
There's no one to talk to about
exactly. I don't want any customers is the thing.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's real. You should sit. Don't do drugs until you're 75.
That's right.
Then do all the drugs you want.
That means, Dad, you have a year until you get to start doing drugs. We can't talk shit to you at all.
That's right.
Marty gets to start doing that shit.
Oh, I bet he'll enjoy it for the first time when he's 75.
Yeah, because he's been sober his whole life.
His whole life.
My dad's such a square. send us all your stories about anything. Ticket taker. Are you a ticket taker or a ticket giver?
Are you a ticket giver? And what are you called? If you understand what we're saying right now and you know it's you, explain everything to us, please.
Park it ticket attendant. Valet stories would be great, too.
Valet stories would be amazing. But I don't think you're an attendant because they have to keep moving.
Yeah. You're attending to the tickets, not to the cars.
Can we just have the reveal now and find out what the fuck we're trying to say?
Okay, let me look it up. Let's pause it.
Parking enforcement officer.
Yay.
Oh, God.
Parking enforcement officer.
Enforcing parking all day long.
Doing it for the people, the good of the people, even if they hate you.
Hey, look, that's what enforcement is all about. It's forcing things and forcing things. All right, we're done with this, right?
Fucking done.
I mean, we've given all we've got.
What more do you guys want?
This might be the mini-sode of all time.
You've been huffing wildfire fumes for days.
I mean, I don't even know what's going on anymore.
Well, thanks for listening. If you've gotten this far.
Yeah. Thanks for sticking in there. Stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Goodbye.
Elvis, do you want a cookie?